Hi, welcome to the first episode, the inaugural episode of That Fitness Business Podcast. And my name is Tom Blackman, and I'm here with Dan Smith. Now, not formerly Dan McFitness Smith, but now just Dan Smith. How are you, Dan?
I'm good. Playing old, back to playing old, boring Smith, which is why I changed my handle in a long time ago, many, many years ago, because there's thousands of Dan Smiths. So, yeah, we were just discussing, yeah, Dan McFitness. The only people who really remember that, like the old, the OGs.
I am old. That's true.
But yeah, it's exciting. I'm excited to be here for the That Fitness Business Podcast.
Yes, and some people might be wondering why it's called That Fitness Business Podcast. Do you want to say why it is?
Well, poor? You might not get this, but it's because Dan and Tom. Yeah, I did get that right, didn't I?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so there's no like secret thing into it. It's just a play on words to make it sound cool and different. So anyway, The reason why we started doing this podcast is because Dan and myself worked on, or I should have said myself and Dan, there's, you know, poor grammar, Thomas. We started working on a group coaching program called 7-11-4, which was all about helping other coaches to develop their content online. Because I'm lots of experience on YouTube, and Dan has epic experience on Reels. He's got millions of awesome Reels. So we come together and did this this 7-11-4 sort of business coaching podcast, and yeah, it's been really good, and people have got some really good results. So we just sort of thought, why don't we talk about other stuff in fitness business which would help other coaches? And so the birth of this podcast happened.
Yes, exactly. I think it's also a little bit because we did have that shared kind of value around what we wanted to create. But then every time we'd speak, it's almost like more people should hear this. Like more people should, we should get this out to more people. So I think that conversation just naturally evolved to what it is now. And like you say, being here discussing this with you, because there are some questionable practices going on.
Dodgy practices.
Yeah, dodgy. And I just think, you know, if it's almost like that thing in the fitness space where if you don't sort of become an advocate for what you believe in, or you don't stand up for stuff and you don't give your opinion, then you do just blend into everything else. And also you're doing a little bit of a disservice because you're not actually standing up for actually, that is not quite right what they're saying there. Yeah, so if not, I just feel like we wouldn't be doing our bit.
Yeah, because we've both been on the receiving end of poor business coaching, and so we've sort of had the bad experiences, but now we have had good experiences and are very good with our coaching and help loads of people. So we're hopefully going to share some of those practices that we use with our clients in our businesses, and how we coach other coaches as well to have a better fitness business, without stress.
That's a little bit of stress.
A little bit of stress, just a little bit. So today, what we're going to talk about is lead magnets, because it's something which is, I suppose, done well, done badly, sometimes not done at all. If you don't know what a lead magnet is, Dan, explain what a lead magnet is and why you should have one.
For me, the easiest way to explain that is you're developing something, or you've got something that is what your ideal audience or your ideal client wants, or solves a problem for them, so that you can then exchange that for potentially some of their details, whether that's their email, phone number, whatever it is, so that then they can become a lead as such. So it's almost like that lead magnet is what it's called, which I'm not a big fan of the actual name. I just think it sounds a bit, some of these phrases that get used, and it just makes me cringe a little bit when I say them, like lead magnet. Like you put this out there,
personalizes people, doesn't it?
Yeah. Sometimes you're just, that's it. You're just seeing that as another number or email address. And actually, even by thinking in that way, you can probably get into that mindset of like just treating people like that. And I think potentially it downplays the importance of what you can create. And realistically, lead magnets, we'll probably come onto this, but don't really get given the attention they should do, because people just think, oh, that'll do, throw it out there, and then you wonder why no one wants it.
Yeah, and there is that. I mean, I don't know. I think I've seen some bad lead magnets, which are, you know, just, you can tell they've been thrown together in 5 minutes, and you can tell it, someone's just put that there to, I just want your email address. And as soon as you download it, and I don't know if you've done this, Dan, but if I've downloaded other, you know, fitness coaches' lead magnets and stuff like that, just to see what people are offering. And the problem is, as soon as you download it, obviously you've got your email address, and then you're bombarded with a million emails over the next sort of 10 days or whatever. I suppose this is why people don't want to give out their email address, because they know that the thing they get might be pretty crap. And then that person's got their email address. Obviously you can unsubscribe, but it's that, oh, do I really want to give away my email address for something which might not be very good?
Yeah. Someone's email address is quite, well, it's valuable information. So for someone to give that away, don't take that lightly. It's quite an important piece of information. And you know how important data is in the world in general, but data in your fitness business is huge. So having someone's email address is a privilege, and you should be in a position where you go, okay, I would like your information because I've got some cool things I think would be suitable for you. But in order to get that, I'm going to give you what I think is enough in terms of a fair exchange. So yeah, and I agree with you. Yeah. I've done both, I suppose. We've over the years had multiple different lead magnets, ranging from really, really bad to then with anything, you just get better at developing these things. And as the business focus changed as well, then lead magnets changed. So that, you have to take that into account as well.
The main thing about a lead magnet is when you see people talking about it and they talk about lead magnets, they are just talking about, let's just get their email address. And actually what the principle should be is, how can we deliver value to this person we want to eventually work with, and you know, they want them to spend money with us. How can we deliver value to these people to show them we are worth working with? It's not just about, let's get the email address and then bombard them with spam until they buy. It's more about, I want to show this person that I'm actually good at my job. I can get the result they want, and I can actually give them value and give it them for free with no, with no presupposition that they're immediately going to buy from us. But what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it should be that first initial exchange is just that part in the process. And then everything after that should be geared around nurturing and building trust and giving value, whatever value is. But no like and trust that people talk about, then when someone's into your, we call it like an ecosystem within what we do in the mentoring, and that's like, once they're in there, perfect. Like, that's great, because they're in your world, then they're away from social media, that noise. So it's like, right, let's treat them like a person. Not just, I think it's different when you're emailing someone. I feel like you're speaking directly to that person. So part one is like that setting up of the effective lead magnet. But then the bigger part is what you're doing behind that to then sort of develop the relationship over time. And that's where, you know, we've built that over the years now. I remember when we first started it, you'd have an ebook, and then it would go into
recipe book.
Yeah, recipe book or something like that. Everyone else had the same ones, like custom branded. They're not really, just change the name on it. Tangent on that. I remember when people used to sell those, they were like, they're selling these things that you'd get for free. And I was like, oh, that's pretty ballsy. But anyway, so you just download the thing, and then they'd have like a sequence of like 5 to 7 emails, and that was it. And over the years now, we've kind of developed that to be a bigger ecosystem as such, with different touch points, different media touch points as well, because sometimes people want to read, sometimes people want to watch video, they might want to do a quiz, they might want to get involved in a bit of a challenge or whatever. So we tried to build these things in so that we could make sure we're kind of covering all bases, and then that way it's a real kind of immersive experience rather than it just being here's your thing, blah, 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 buy my stuff. See you later.
Yeah. I mean, there is that thing about, because I suppose if you want someone to spend, let's say, a couple hundred quid with you, then it's very, I suppose, especially with coaching, it's very unusual for someone to just out of the blue just go, oh yeah, I'll drop £300-£400 on your program. They have to have some experience, like a try before you buy type of thing. And it's sort of like, it's something when I was on the Dent program, they're always talking about this. You want to get the a minimum signal. So a minimum signal is when someone say, when you say, oh, rather than, you know, we talked about the chugger thing. Remember the chuggers thing we did for 7M4? You know, the chuggers, they come into the street and they're straight on you going, hey, do you want to buy my, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? Do you want to donate to this charity? And it's like, no, because I've literally just met you. Whereas if you say to people, you know, I've got this charity, are you interested in some information? They might be more inclined to go, yeah, I'll be interested in that. And then you can say to them, oh, would you like to donate to this charity? And it's the same sort of thing with lead magnets. You just don't want to go, just jump on people and go, oh, you know, do you want to buy my program? Do you want to buy this? Which is basically Facebook ads in it around Christmas time. And January is like, do you want to get shredded for January?
Yeah.
Just buy this program, whatever. You want to, I suppose, say to people, look, I'm a coach. I do this sort of thing. Are you interested in that? Would you like to try this thing to see what I'm like as a coach before you buy my main product? And I think that's quite an ethical and honest way to approach that sort of thing. And people are then, yeah, I don't mind trying it. No problem. What can I lose?
And we see this in actual practice. Like we see, you can go into our email software and you can see the tags that people have gone through, different things. And then they bought. So anytime someone comes on, I can go through and see their whole journey, where they came in, at what point, and then what they've gone through, what sequences, what things they've clicked on, what things they've done. And then, oh, they're a client now. And I find that really fascinating, that kind of customer journey and how many sort of touch points. There's usually quite a few. Like we have like probably 7 or 8 different things that people have gone through before they've actually I'll do this now.
Yeah.
Sometimes not always the case, but then they're like the more hyper focused buyers, aren't they? But most people need a bit more sort of foreplay.
yeah, but it's like, isn't it? You don't just go to someone, oh, do you want to get married? It's, you know, unless you're in some other country, you might not have a choice. But yeah. it's more about, you know, you get to take them out for a date. You know, chat them up a little bit first. It's that process, isn't it, before they actually commit? And I mean, there is a case, obviously, that some people who the first time they're downloading your lead magnet or your product for prospects is what I call it. They might just have seen all your stuff, all your content before they download that. So they're actually more primed to buy off you and they just want to sort of confirm you're the right person. So there is a case for, if someone does download your lead magnet or your product for prospects or whatever you want to call it, there is a case for in their first email saying, hey, look, this is what I do. You might already know what I do. Would you like to have a chat about solving your problem? For example, there is a case for that, but not to be too pushy with it. More like, you know, this is what I do. Would you like to have a chat about that? And if they say no, it's like, no problem. Have some more of my content. Yeah, you know, try this out. What do you think?
Yeah.
You have to chat them up a bit more.
Yeah, we do have that. More with the mentoring. It's you can't, maybe I'll change this a few. You can't like directly book a call with the mentoring. You have to go through a process of an audit. There's like a benchmark, your business quiz. And they go through that, and then that then they get positioned with a call to discuss it, which is, and that's how I want to set it up at the moment, because I think I'd like to have people have an awareness of where things are for them currently, plus I get the information so I can see it, and then we can discuss on a call, and then it's more like that's what it should be about. Or hey, do you want to just sign up? What's wrong with it? But yeah,
so, okay, so some examples then. So what's I mean, we've obviously got similar businesses. So give me one of your lead magnets you use for your fitness coaching.
One of them, we've got a Strong Human quiz. Strong Human quiz, which is basically just they're assessed on 3 different areas and they get a score at the end of it, which then we can then have a conversation about, so we can break that down. So pretty simple. Yeah, that's one of them. Any more?
Yeah, I've got a one called the vitamin T. It's a play on, if you don't, vitamin T is like a joke in bodybuilding world. Vitamin T is testosterone, but also my name's Tom, so it works quite well. But vitamin T is the 5-day program, so they can download it. They get access to my app for I think about 10 days, and there's 5 workouts plus 3 bonuses in there. So it's essentially a try before you buy situation. And I have a few emails saying, oh, you know, make sure that, you know, you try this and you do this, and, you know, here's how to do the workouts properly. And towards the end, it's like, oh, do you know it's going to be running out soon? Would you like to talk about some coaching? Would you like to talk about having more workouts? If you've liked these workouts, this is the type of coaching I do. You know, you might be interested in signing up. And that is the absolute sort of like the try before you buy situation, where they, because obviously if they download the workouts, don't like them, they're not a fit, because they're not going to fit my coaching at all.
Yeah.
So it's a good way of filtering out people who aren't suitable for the coaching and also people who really are.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. That idea. Because we definitely toyed with having a trial in the past. I mean, we didn't go through it in the end, but something we are thinking about with the academy is having a trial period that they can come into. But all part of this is all of those bits fit into one big system. So we have the front end is a guide to gym confidence at the moment, but that might change. And then they go through to the Strong Human quiz. Then they go through to, I've got a video series in there somewhere. I think there's a challenge in there as well. And then they go through to the academy. But at each point, they're like little mini offers. So there's like mini chances to book a call. Do you want to speak to us about this? Do you want to book a nutrition MOT is in there as well, stuff like that. So yeah, we just tried to make it cover all the bases. And then ultimately, if someone goes through all of that and they don't buy, then probably not going to buy anyway.
No, and that's the thing, is that you do get people who just aren't ready to buy, who don't want to buy for whatever reason, and not the right time for them. There's obviously people who download lead magnets and never implement the stuff. I'd say that's probably 90% of people who download a lead magnet is, you know, we've all done that. Do you want this free thing? Yeah, I'll have it. Email with a PDF. Okay, I'll put that in my important documents. Never read it.
Yeah. Big time. I remember, I don't know if it was a stat or something, or someone just made it up, but them saying that most people don't actually read the thing it is. They just download it and it will never get even opened. Mm. But I think you've done your job then, in terms of if you're putting something out there that someone potentially wants, that's you're then, like we said at the beginning, just wanting to get that valuable information. But if you're not doing the rest of the stuff afterwards, then that's your fault as well.
Yeah. I suppose the other thing here is that although a lead magnet can lead into a sale immediately, the main thing is to then use that information to nurture them. As we said before, the amount of people who are going to buy on the first email are probably not going to be a lot. But if you are sending them, so let's say weekly emails or however many days a week emails you want to do, and all of those emails have value, they introduce to your coaching, methods you use, anecdotes, case studies, a bit about you, your character. It's developing that rapport, that 7-11-4 thing, you know, which is 7 hours of content, 11 touch points, 4 locations. You know, so it's developing that, I suppose, that relationship, isn't it? Which, again, a lot of people really don't service their email list, do they? They just have an email list, but they never email it with some regularity.
That's probably a big point to bring up, actually, because working with quite a few coaches now, and then when new ones come on, I always go through that process of like, do you use email marketing? Have you got a list? Do you email it? And it more than likely, people have got a list and it's just there. And they're like, do you do anything with it? No, not really. Okay. Cool. And it's just, I think there's probably a few factors in that, but potentially the ease of social media and how easy, and it's quite an instant response, isn't it? You post something, all likes. It's like when you email, it's not really, you don't get that feeling as such.
Never get it, do you? Never get likes on your emails.
So it's almost like, well, why am I doing that when I could get instant gratification here? You're like, well, the email is probably more likely to convert, like in terms of percentage wise. I think it's sort of 6% in terms of conversion rates or something on email, whereas social media is something like less than half that. So from effectiveness, probably better off building your email list and using that. But
and also, I think what people don't sometimes get is that when people talk about like things like Facebook ads and stuff like that, targeting the ideal market, we'll do that maybe in another podcast. But you know, when you get into Facebook ads and it's like you can do all the demographics and everything else, and you're, oh, what would my ideal client like? And you're not looking at your email list and go, well, there's all the people who said they're actually interested in my stuff.
Yeah.
And you're not sending them fit stuff, but you're putting money into Facebook ads. I don't get that. I mean, those are the people who've actively said, yes, I'm interested in your stuff, and they can actually unsubscribe. So you don't send them stuff when they're not interested. So you've got an email list with people who are actively interested in your stuff, but then you don't email.
That's it. Even that, you know, coaches will say, oh, I've got any, it's not very big. It's not that big. It's like, I mean, well, 50 people. I'm like, 50 people, like, but you only need 10, 15 of them to buy from you, right? So,
yeah.
Like, they go, oh, it's not very, I'm like, yeah, but why aren't you doing it? I'd still be emailing them. Everyone's email list started from zero, didn't it? So it's like,
yeah. Do it. Unless you buy one, of course.
Yeah.
You can do that as well. Yeah. And then everyone unsubscribes.
interesting you mentioned about that Facebook ads, because you can take your email list now and
port it across. I think you have to have 1,000 people on your email list to do that, though. But when you port it across, you can then create a lookalike. Yeah. Of all those people on Facebook ads. So yeah, there is that there. You can potentially reach a larger audience, but then those people are still like, they're at the cold end. You've still got to bring them into your funnel.
Yeah.
And the people who are on your email list are sort of mid funnel, aren't they? They're ready to, some of them ready to buy, some of them aren't.
We do quite a lot of stuff where coaches will set up like quizzes or kind of questionnaires or stuff like that, or surveys within there, and not only will they get that as part of the process, but the information that they get back from that, they use from a research point of view, because then they I'm getting feedback from them saying, oh, this is really cool, I find out so much about my audience and the things that they want, the help they need, and so then that gives you an even better approach to then targeting your message on social media, or what you write about in your emails. Potentially you'll change it depending on what you get feedback on. So don't see it as just like it's this one purpose of just getting an email list. You can actually gather some information from it, from your audience.
And I think that's the key thing, isn't it, is that we're now in a data-driven age where, you know, the people who have the most data will have the most. You can see that on, like, you know, previous presidential elections and UK elections. You know, the people who manage the data, they're the winners, aren't they? So if you've got you've got a quiz. I've got something called the Diet Ecosystem Test, which is about, I think it's like 38 questions, but it will analyze that and then give them a score of how good their diet is based on all these questions. And I use that when I'm talking to new clients. They say, well, you know, we can see here your score for, say, workouts is really high. So not really needing to focus on getting you to the gym, but look, you're eating. That's not so good. So let's zero in there.
Yeah.
And because that's a free lead magnet that I've got, and it gives them a little report and everything else. But the key thing there is that they get really useful information and usable information, which then, if we get onto a call, can then be used to then make their coaching better. So they can see the value in doing it. And from your perspective, or my perspective, all the questions are designed for stuff that I see people having trouble with. So, you know, do you know how many calories to eat, for example? You know, and if the majority of people are saying no, well, then you know that your content needs to move towards that as an educational purpose.
Yeah, that's a really cool way of using, because in the past it was just a lead magnet. It was just like an ebook, wasn't it, or something, get a download, and then you couldn't really get that back. But
yeah,
we do a similar thing with the benchmark your fitness business scorecard. And that's six areas on like sales, marketing, service delivery, lead generation. I think it's also got in there like your vision and like what you want from the business. So we're focusing on all areas, but then similar thing. So we'd have a call and I'll just pull that up, go, oh, he scored 30% on lead generation. Like what do you have in place at the moment? And it just makes it easier to dig into those questions. And
100%. That makes you a better coach as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is ultimately what we're looking to do, isn't it? Make people better coaches, not just money machines, although that's nice as well. So, okay. So what shouldn't we put in a lead magnet? What's the real no-nos for putting into a lead magnet, or product for prospects, whatever you want to call it?
What shouldn't you put in there? I suppose for me, then it's really looking at, I don't know if there's anything I wouldn't put in there, but I wouldn't overload it with just like loads of features and things that potentially you're like, if you just push to sale all the time, I think there should be a lot of stuff in there that's geared more around solving a problem. So if I downloaded something and it was just all about sign up, buy this, it would probably put me off. Whereas if I downloaded it because it was promising to solve a problem, then I'd want it to be focused on that. But in terms of what goes into it, I don't think there's anything specific I can think of. I don't know, why can you?
well, so what you touched on there, if, say, for your lead magnet, if you've got stuff in there which is completely irrelevant to your business. So, for example, I used to use the recipe books thing for lead magnet when my business was more focused on nutrition. Now, I still have the recipe books as a sort of a client giveaway thing. So in my coaching group, they get the 30 recipes every month as part of their client package. So I still use it, but I don't use it as a lead magnet, because people who are looking for more recipes aren't necessarily interested in coaching and aren't necessarily interested in doing the type of workouts that I coach. So really, the people that were coming in off that were just people who are interested in recipes. You know, and what I found was my email open rate was a little bit down. When I removed that and instead changed to the vitamin C and the diet ecosystem, is all based around lifting, training, you know, getting in great shape, and vitamin C is sample workouts. Because those things were really key towards the people I want to work with, the right people were coming in. And now my email rate has gone up to say like 30%, which is, I'm like, wow, that's pretty good. So I think it has to be, and this is the thing, people say, oh, I've got a lead magnet in, but it's not, it doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't, it might solve the problem of not wanting more recipes, but it doesn't solve the problem of, I'm looking for people who I like to work with.
Yeah, I think that's what I was trying to get across, but I was almost trying to think of like specific things you wouldn't put in there. But the problem solving thing is a big part of it, because all too often, I've seen coaches do this, and we've definitely done it in the past. We've created something based on what we think they need, and we haven't actually found out that what they actually want, and then created it off that. We haven't researched, we haven't surveyed, we haven't got out there and asked the questions on this. So by doing that simple action, which we should be doing anyway, we've kind of gone, oh, this will be really good, let's create that, and then put it out there and gone, well, no one wants it. Or like you say, the people signing up are just not right for your business. And I see that happen with things like calorie calculators as well, potentially, because some people, if they are going through and doing that, there's an insight into, they want to know a little bit more about nutrition, but that's probably it. I don't know. Unless it was positioned as something like, Take your calorie calculator here to work out your macros for muscle building. And you're like, okay, cool. There's maybe something else in that then, but I don't know what your thoughts on that.
Well, I've got a calorie calculator on my website. But I've got one for like mainly fat loss, and then one which is called muscle gain calorie calculator. Interesting that the calorie calculator does get a lot of hits. I look at my Linktree stuff to see the link. It does get a lot of hits. But it's mainly like a tool, which I say to people, look, if you want to, people say, oh, how many, I get DMs, whatever, oh, how much calories should I be? Do you know what? Go here. Here's my calorie calculator. It saves the conversation where, you know what I mean? It helps them, gives them immediate value. But I don't use it as a lead magnet, as in, I mean, you can, there is a button that says, would you like these emailed to you? click here, but it's on the screen when they do it, so they don't have to do that. They don't have to click the email thing. But then people who sometimes come back and said, "Oh, I've done these calories and everything else. Do you think that's right?" And then that initiates a conversation. Yeah. So it's more not so much getting the email address; it's more introducing them to my, like you said, your ecosystem. So this is one of the things I do: calorie calculators. You know, but it's no one's going to buy your coaching straight off that. But it does get them in. Okay, what else has he got? What other things can he help? And like you said with the tags, I can see people who've come in, say on the calorie calculator, vitamin T. So I can see the process they've gone through, and that can be discussed. A call, like you said.
Yeah. I think for that way, it's a great way to, because we think about these lead magnets as being this process that is just being downloaded then into emails. But there's so, like you say, you could have that through social media. So through your messages, we're using stuff like the ManyChat stuff I was chatting to you about the other week. But because that keeps them on that platform where they are. You can just open up conversations by having something like that really easy. So yeah, I think it's good to be able to think about this, not just in that context of, oh, it's email only. Although the ManyChat thing can still capture the email in it. So
yeah.
Good.
I think the one of the key things that people miss is we want to start conversations with people. We want to show that we're people, not just, you know, like robots who are trying to sell stuff. The more conversations you can have with people, it builds up that rapport. And then first of all, you find out if they're the right people to work with. You really don't want people who are like tough clients, do you? I don't know, you probably have people like this. So they come, you do the sale or whether, yeah, sign up. And then it's like, oh, can you do all this? I'm like, no, I can't. That's not what I do. And they're like, oh, but I paid you money now. I'm like, oh, okay. Either refund your money or do this extra work, which you're not set up for. Have you had that?
Yeah. You want to have your clients, don't you? Like your type of clients, those people who align on personality, values, just those kind of things that should come through from ultimately being able to put that through any of the platforms you use, which is another, this is kind of going off into a bigger subject, but another reason why it's important to have your own way of doing this and your own things and not get too drawn into like, oh, that person's done that, so I need to have a recipe book, or that person's doing this free trial, so I need to do that. So well, let's find your way of doing it, but ultimately put your own personality behind it, and then that way you'll connect with more people who are aligned with you. And then you won't get those people, hopefully, coming in your life.
Yeah, it's the first filtering process, isn't it?
Like
I said, the recipe book thing for me was, it was not a good filter because it pulled people in who just weren't interested in training at the gym, for example.
Yeah.
I think, again, that's what people don't get is like, it's the filter for you. It's not just about, oh, how many emails can I get? Because, you know, the worst thing than having no email list is having an email list 3,000 people who aren't your people, and then you're paying ActiveCampaign or MailChimp for 3,000 people on your list, and then no one opens your thing.
Painful. Today, I just had to upgrade because we had more contacts, and then I'm like, oh, I need to filter some people out rather than paying extra, get rid of these people.
I used to send when I was filtering out my list, I used to send an email out, which was like, you're going to get friend zoned was the title. And it was just a joke about, you know, I see you haven't opened my emails for a little bit and everything else. Do you still want to get my emails? Because if you don't, no problem. Click unsubscribe. I don't want to spam you.
Yeah.
And I had a few people like message back saying, how dare you use the term friend zone? That's so insulting. I was like, you're not my type of person then.
Love it.
Obviously. Yeah. Thank you for saying.
Brilliant, isn't it? I love the way that fascinates me, the psychology behind social media and email, why people will actively do something like that or take the time out of their day to comment on someone's post who they don't know. And I just find it fascinating. Like it doesn't ever annoy me, or I don't get like triggered by any of it. I just find it really interesting. I'm like, why have you done that? Because it's something I would never do. I just go past it. Really interesting. I think if I had more time, I'd want to look more into it.
it used to be Sundays for me. Sunday afternoons on my Facebook ads, when I used to run Facebook ads, Sunday afternoons was when you'd get the idiots. And they'd always be like, or someone they comment, obviously you can see their profile. And you just know, I know what that person's going to be like even before, because it was a Sunday afternoon comment. I know what that person's going to be like even before I've even clicked on the comment or anything else. I know what that person's going to be like because it's a Sunday afternoon comment. They're sat at home on their own, no family, no friends.
Oh, I got a bit triggered by this Facebook thing. Like, I'm going to have a rant.
Like profile picture or like a Union Jack in the background.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, Union Jack. Yeah. You know, like tough Britain, you know, no immigration.
Yeah. Paid up EDL member.
Oh, good. Okay. So I think we've gone through all the points we had. Is there anything, I suppose people who are listening or watching, what would be, and let's presume that they're, so if you haven't had a lead magnet before, you've not done anything else, you want to grow your email list or your audience, whatever, where's the first thing you need to do to get to that sort of first lead magnet you want to send out? What's the low cost, easy way to do it?
Easiest thing, well, the first thing I'd do is research. I would just create a really simple survey. We use Typeform, but whatever, a simple survey. And I'd do that bit first before you do anything, because you'll have ideas anyway, and then potentially it might not be the right thing. So research first, and then off the back of that, then start to look at, okay, what do I want to create? But off the back of that research, I would get all the problems that your ideal client has in terms of maybe list out top 10 or something, top 10 problems, then pick one of those problems and just go into that and be like, right, that's what I'm going to solve. This thing's going to solve that or help with it. And then how you want to deliver it, really. So whether that's going to be guide, little cheat sheet, download, challenge, because it doesn't have to be I think we always think it has to be a guide, but some of the best lead magnets we've ever done were mini challenges, like 3, 4, 5 day challenges, because we could get 200-300 people in there, which, you know, some people would, you'd move on to coaching with us, but then we'd have 300 more people in our emails to then nurture that process like we talked about. So that's what I'd do.
Yeah, and you could run a free challenge from a Facebook group quite easily. And I suppose if you've got all the things set out each day, all the emails and all the whatever set out, you can rinse and repeat that a few times, can't you, to do the same sort of results, I suppose.
Yeah, because that thing could become something that you run every, I mean, there's no reason why. Once it's set up, you can't run that as frequently as you want, really. It doesn't have to be every, you know, 3 or 4 times a year. I know there's some coaches out there running challenges every month. They just do one into the next one, do one.
Another way to do that is to say, like the vitamin T one I run, that's essentially like a 10-day challenge with the workouts. But I run a Facebook group, which is also called Vitamin T. And then when people download, I say, look, if you've got any questions, just raise it in the group. So you don't have to run like we'll start a Monday challenge. It can be an evergreen thing with that Facebook group of support. And then that's another way of generating leads, I suppose, or generating the content. And the good thing about a Facebook group is if they join it, you can set up the questions to say, here's 3 questions before you join. And you can say on mine, it says, what type of training do you do? You know, like some others, I can't remember. but it's questions that are geared to my target market, you know. So do you train in a gym, yes or no? So people who say no, I'm like, probably not going to suit my type of training, but they can still join the group. But it's, you know, it's that I know that they're probably not the right type of person for the training.
Yeah, definitely. That question thing works quite well with some of our challenges, where we sort of positioned them to have a call at that point as well. And then they, not as in like a, you know, coaching, do you want to sign up? But it was just like, we can have a chat about where you are currently, what we're going to do in the challenge. And that was quite cool, because even if they said no, sometimes they'll go, oh, we'll do the challenge first and then I'll have the call after. And we're like, cool. So we just have a spreadsheet, all the names on who wanted calls, and then work through them. It's good.
Yeah, I suppose it depends what suits your business. And that's the crucial thing, isn't it? It's like, don't do what other people are doing, because they've set all that because it works with their lifestyle. You know, certain things, like things that you do won't work for me, and vice versa, because of our different lifestyles and I know you're a jet set sort of Dubai every weekend type of guy, and
yeah. I don't know what you're looking at. I never leave this room. I'm just close to you. Yeah, this is my life.
Cool. I think we've covered most stuff. Anything that we missed out?
No, I think that's all the main points are there, bar from, you know, actually getting into the intricacies of how you could maybe create something. But that depends on what it is. You've got to do those core bits first. Research, really, really dig into that. Find out. Don't sort of scrimp on the research side of it, because it'll pay off with what you create later on.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's something that's more of a the intricacies of coaching, isn't it? Not something we could go over on a podcast.
Yeah.
It's going to be different for everybody. Okay. Nice one. Good first start, I think. Hopefully got there without any swearing. I don't know. Do we swear?
Didn't swear. I didn't
swear. So it's a clean one. It's for suitable for all ages.
Yeah.
Sure that'll change though. No worry. So Dan, do you want to say where people can contact you if they would like to talk about business coaching and maybe to troll you in comments?
Yeah, trolling first, because then I know if you're right for what we do. No trolling, then you can't speak to us. No, but yeah, anywhere Strong Collective, like mentoring. It's on here. That one. Okay.
So is it Strong Collective on Instagram, that sort of thing?
Yeah, you can probably find me under Dan Strong Collective. There's a Strong Collective coaching and Strong Collective mentoring. So we've got those pages, or the website strongcollective.co.uk. on there.
Cool, excellent. And I suppose for me it's just really Instagram at the moment. I am on YouTube as well, so Instagram is at tom_blackman_nutrition, and my YouTube is, I think it's just Tom Blackman. So do you know there's actually handles coming in on YouTube now?
Yeah,
so you can tag like people, so you need to get on YouTube and at Strong Dan or something.
I've got it on there. I'm on there.
Have you?
Yeah. I didn't mention that. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. So it's because that's going to be coming soon, isn't it?
Yeah. So we've got our coaching platform on YouTube, and then the mentoring is on there as well. And I think it is under Dan Strong Collective. So yeah, on there.
Cool. Excellent. Cool. Okay. Thanks very much, mate. I will see you on the next podcast.
Nice. Thank you.
Thank you.